Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Revive Wesleyan Church. My name is Tim Buckley, and I serve here as the worship leader of the Bayview Chapel campus. Revive is a church that desires to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace. We hope and pray that you sense God's hope, that you experience God's healing, and that you participate with God's grace this morning. If you are a guest with us, we especially welcome you this morning, and we do invite you to do one small favor for us. There is a card in the pew back in front of you that's got a gold trim. It says, "I'm new." And if you could fill that out for us and bring that either to me or to Pastor John after the service, that would be great. We'd love to connect with you and get you connected with the community of believers that we have here. We're gathered here in the bright sunshine to sing of God's praises, to give him glory, to pray as a people for each other, for the world, for our communities, and to hear and proclaim God's word spoken. We're also in the midst and have just started a Lenten journey together. Throughout the season of Lent, we'll be exploring the Gospel of John, and we'll be beholding the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it may be challenging. We know that we need him, and we know that we need to confess our sins to him, and we need to set our minds and hearts right before we do anything else. So stand with us as we read through our worship focus for this month, which is the Collect for Purity. Let's read together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our God is holy. Let's sing of God's holiness.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
God is a powerful God and he's a triune God. He is so transcendent that we cannot help but worthily magnify his name. But he's also so personal to each one of us. Here from Psalm 91, beginning verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our Lord is our Redeemer. Let us sing to our Redeemer who lives.
I will see.
Well, Jesus Christ indeed did pay the debt, and he reconciled us to God the Father. It is that same reconciliation that we now pass on to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Make sure I'm unmuted. Great to have you. What a beautiful day. So, yeah, Wayne and I were thinking we would ask God for the next 3 or 4 weeks, could all Sundays be just like this? It'd be great. So, I'm John Horton. I'm the Bayview campus pastor. I want to welcome you here. One of the things I love about Bayview is the variety of music styles that we enjoy, right? So with this beautiful organ, and Mary Beth can play it very well, and so, you know, once a month or so, we like to have a Sunday where we hear the organ, and we love it. Next week, you're going to remember to spring ahead, right? Otherwise, you'll come in, and we'll be leaving, and, you know, be so sad. Best service I've ever been to. This time flew, no. So we're having a Celtic music Sunday next week. So very different from this week. And I love almost every style of music. You'll probably never hear opera in here. But other than that, we love different styles of music. So not yet. Hey, never say never, right? Okay. Is that by way of announcement or who knows, right? And then the following week, we're going to have a multicultural experience, worship experience, where scripture will be read in a lot of different languages, heart languages, of some of our own parishioners. And so we're looking forward to that. We're inviting you to be part of that. We're not having our fellowship time next week like normal. We're pushing it back a week. So on the 20th, if you would like to bring some food that reflects your cultural heritage, that would be fun. And so we'll enjoy that together. If you're going to do that, could you let Alice know? She'd like to know how many tables to set up. So if you forget to talk to Alice, still bring your food, but it'd be nice to be able to coordinate that. Wave your hand so they know who you are if they don't. This lovely young lady in the gold-colored sweater. There is a Ukraine prayer walk that is available for you during the week when the office is open. It starts right here in the atrium, and there's several different, I think five or six different stations, and at each station they're suggesting things to pray for. So if that's something that you would like to do, you know, the church is open at 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Feel free to come and do that. I think that's what I have for us. But again, last week we opened, during our pastoral prayer, we opened the altar for prayer for Ukraine, and things haven't gotten better there. They've gotten worse, right? And so it would be so American for us to say, well, we did that last week, let's move on, but they can't move on, can they? So I'm going to open the altar for prayer again as we pray for Ukraine a little bit later in our service. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this beautiful day, for the gift of life, for the season of Lent as we make our way toward Good Friday and Easter. Prepare our hearts and minds, and we ask that you would speak to us today, even as we're singing and hearing your word read and hearing your word explained. Open our hearts and minds, and Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us. We pray for our offering. We give it to you along with ourselves and are so grateful we get to be part of the work of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 32 through 39 in our Living Bible. The author is unknown, but it was written 60 to 70 years after the death of Jesus. This letter is to Jewish Christians who were thinking of returning to their old ways in Judaism. Please stand for our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that is here today. Please bless us and our families. And please bless those people who are not able to join us today. Please help us to listen to these words and transform us into godly people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Don't ever forget those wonderful days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you kept right on with the Lord, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were laughed at and beaten, and sometimes you yourselves watched and sympathized as others suffered the same things. You suffered with those thrown in jail, and you actually were joyful when all that you owned was taken from you, knowing that better things were awaiting you in heaven, things that would be yours forever. Do not let this happy trust in the Lord die away. No matter what happens, remember your reward. You need to keep on patiently doing God's will if you want him to do for you all that he has promised. His coming will not be delayed much longer. And those whose faith has made them good in God's sight must live by faith, trusting him in everything. Otherwise, they shrink back. If they shrink back, God will have no pleasure in them. But we have never turned our backs on God and sealed our fate. No, our faith in him assures our soul's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Stand with us and respond to God's word in song.
Oh God, our help in need. life before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its years away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Oh God, our help in ages past, and our eternal home.
Please be seated as we prepare our hearts for prayer.
If you'd like to join me at the altar for prayer again this week as we pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, please come up and join me. Oh God, our Father, we come to you. We know of your faithfulness. We look back on different times in our world when things were really hard, when nations were at war. And especially in moments like that, we look to you, our God. We often feel powerless and helpless, and so we turn to you. We pray that you would watch over those who are fleeing the Ukraine, have fled it, or are still there. We pray that hostilities would cease, that there would be peace. We pray for protecting grace for those who are there, who are being attacked. We pray for those who are caring for them, for those who are fighting, for other governments that have expressed or are thinking about helping, and pray that they would. Your word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and so we pray that you would be at work in your own wise way. Help us to look around us this week and see people who are hurting as they live in this broken world. We're not meant to live on our own. We look to you for strength and ask that you might help us to be an encouragement to those around us who are in danger of growing weary and losing heart. And for any who are here today who are tired and discouraged or perhaps need your healing touch, we ask for that, for the encouragement of your Holy Spirit, for your healing presence in our lives. And we thank you that we're not orphans, that we are dearly loved sons and daughters. And we pray with thanksgiving and great faith in Jesus' name. Amen. I gotta take off my coat. Aren't you loving being in the Gospel of John? for this whole season of Lent. Thanks for those of you who were here last Wednesday for our Ash Wednesday service. We had a wonderful service thinking about Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have you ever felt desperate? I guess we all have. Whether it's a personal crisis like losing a job or losing our health, we probably all experience situations in which people that we love are going through painful times and we can't fix it. We like to fix things, don't we? But some things cannot be fixed, or at least not by us. So today we meet a father who found himself in just that situation. His son was dying. Today we find ourselves in the season of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And we're looking together at the signs that we find in the Gospel of John. Seven miracles selected, there were many miracles, but these seven selected by John to answer the question, who is Jesus? If we are encouraged to trust God and to trust Jesus, we need to know more about him. And so that's our task during the season of Lent. We're asking the question as we look at these signs, who is Jesus? Last week we looked at the first miracle, Jesus turns the water into wine. And the main idea from last week is that in this first miracle, Jesus sets the tone for his ministry. He has come to bring us joy. Isn't that good news? That is really good news. The second sign in John we focus on today builds on that theme of joy, as we will see desperation can turn to joy when Jesus is in the equation. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 46. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him. It's about 20 miles, so that was a long walk. He went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Was this man a Jew or a Gentile? We don't know. Nor do we know his exact position in the government. He may have been a member of Herod's court. We don't know his national or social standing, but we do know that he was in desperate need for Jesus to intervene in his son's life. He was at the point of begging Jesus to come to Capernaum and heal his son. There may be nothing worse in life than helplessly watching your child suffer. So he was throwing a Hail Mary pass, a last-ditch attempt to save his son's life. There was nowhere else he could turn, no one else who could help him. And I imagine that as he was talking with Jesus, he was trembling. There may have been tears rolling down his face. He realized that if Jesus couldn't help him, his son was going to die. So the government official was displaying what we would call crisis faith. Crisis faith. It's the type of faith we display when all other options have failed us. It's the reaction to a set of circumstances that have become out of control. Our back is up against the wall. And we cry out to Jesus because he's the only one we have left. A few weeks ago, I visited with a young man who was rattled by life's circumstances. I asked if he ever read the Bible. And he said, this is classic, I always meant to. Now would be a good time to start. Is that classic? And so I never pick on people, right? We can only go forward. So I affirm that you're right. This would be a great time for you to start. And it's not unusual for me. We are our counseling rooms. Was that just me? Our counseling rooms are right around the corner, so we often walk by Bayview on our way out the door. And probably about a quarter of the time, I'll come in here, grab a Bible, and hand it to them and encourage them to start reading in the Gospels, really, right? Because Jesus is the heart of our faith, and if we're going to grow closer to God, it's going to be by finding out who Jesus is. And so I got them started on reading the Bible. And I hope that even when his crisis fades, that his faith will continue to grow, right? Crisis faith is not a bad thing. It can open the door to a deeper faith if we follow up on it, if some new habits are formed. So there must have been something powerful in the words and presence of Jesus. As this father was interacting with Jesus, we see his faith grow or change. Let's go back to our text, John chapter 4, verse 48. A little bit of frustration here at the beginning. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. How about that? With seven words in the NIV, the story changes. The father, who is desperate, begging for Jesus to come with him on a 20-mile journey to heal his son, with just seven words, everything changes. You may go. Your son will live. No longer was the father desperate. We see a calm come over him. The man took Jesus and at his word and departed. Just like that. Are you kidding me? What was it about Jesus, about what he said and how he said it, that had this kind of impact? Was it the look in his eye? Was it the tone of his voice? But the man's crisis faith turned into confident faith. There is power in Jesus' words. As we read the Gospels, we see power to calm a raging storm, power to cast out demons, power to turn water into wine, power to fill fishermen's nets, power to give hope to the hopeless, and power to instill confidence in a father that his son would be made well. And this confidence came before the verification that the boy was healed. It's one thing to be confident. It's another to see your confidence confirmed. Verse 51. While he was still on the way, the father returning home, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour. And the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. The boy was healed the instant Jesus said, you may go. Your son will live. So the man's servants began the 20-mile journey to tell him the good news. It would be a whole solid day for the father to walk home again. He wouldn't walk at night because of bandits and wild animals. And so, you know, he had to wait through that night to start walking home. And then it was, you know, maybe around noon that they met him on the way with this good news. So his confident faith became confirmed faith. His confidence in Jesus was confirmed. His boy was made well. It's a beautiful miracle, isn't it? Not just for that family, but for all of us. I imagine tears once again streamed down this father's cheek. Can you imagine? He really is. He's really better. Tears of sorrow were turned to tears of joy. And when he arrived home, he found a boy who the last time he saw him was close to death. Now he's fully restored. So I want to take a time out because we all know that not every prayer is answered in this way, right? We know that. There are all kinds of answers to our prayers. Can our faith in God hold on or even grow when nothing changes? What do you think? Can our faith in God hold on or even grow when nothing changes? I think the answer is yes. That there's more to our relationship with God than Him giving us everything that we ask for. Let me say that again. There's more to our relationship with God than Him giving us everything we ask for. God gives us guidance, wisdom to live our lives. He comforts us when we grieve. He uses hard things to shape us, to make us more like Himself. He gives us courage. He helps us to be gracious, to imitate the grace that He shows us. So I believe that faith can grow in a variety of situations, no matter what the answer to our prayer is. Back to our story. The Father had a story to tell the world. Jesus healed my son. As we see next, he couldn't contain himself. John 4:53. So he and his whole household believed. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Previously, the man had known enough about Jesus to regard him as a talented wonder worker, maybe a prophet. But the sign pointed him beyond that. He plainly saw the hand of God in it, and his whole attitude was modified accordingly. He became a believer. The sign transformed his faith into a greater faith. I love that expression. He and his whole household believed, right? He shared the news, and he affected his whole family in a wonderful way. The father displayed contagious faith. Contagious faith. And let me just say a word here. You don't have to have all the answers to have a contagious faith. Right? You don't have to be at the elite level of your faith journey to be an influence on other people. Here's what I have discovered. That sometimes people relate more to our struggles than our victories. Because they have struggles too. They sometimes relate easier to our questions than thinking that we have to have all the answers. So I'm hoping and praying that our faith is contagious even in the midst of some of our struggles. Even when we don't have all the answers. And who wants to be around a know-it-all? Sometimes my wife will ask me a question and I'll say, I don't know. And she'll be like, what? I said, yes, it's refreshing, isn't it? Oh, boy. So, I want to ask you this morning, where are you in your faith journey? Are you here this morning because something's going rotten in your life and you're like, I'm hoping that God will help me because I'm kind of running out of avenues. And if you are, good for you. You come to the right place. We may not have a simple answer for you. You may not get the answer you want right away. But good for you. Just don't stay there. Right? Because your faith, your ability to trust in God will grow as you get to know Him better. So we invite you into that. Again, crisis faith is not a bad thing, but whenever I am talking to somebody who's in the middle of a crisis, I want to meet them there, but I want to encourage them to go on from there. Our faith is based on our relationship with God through Jesus, and like any relationship, Our relationship with God will grow as we invest in it, as we spend time with God. You probably noticed on your outline at the bottom of that, there are readings for this week. Here's the deal. If you would do those readings and study and thoughtfully read those passages, it'll do as much or more for you than the Sunday morning message. So there it is. So I invite you, even if you're not in the habit of doing that, why not start? Get to know who God is, who Jesus is, and your faith, your ability to trust him will grow. Have a conversation with God every day by praying. Ask God for his help. Thank him specifically for answers to prayer and for your blessings. Give your day to God at the beginning of it, and then look back and thank him for his help. Be regular in worship. We were never meant to do this faith journey by ourselves. And spend time purposefully with people who are a few steps ahead of you on this faith journey. Do you have a confident faith? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that God has your best interest in mind? Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that God is for you? I was listening to a coach named Frank Reich. Maybe you've heard of his name before. And he was being interviewed, and I've always liked him. I think the Colts might be my new second favorite team, just because I like Frank. And they were asking him about his quarterback and if he'll trade him or whatever. And he said, I am for him. Whether he stays on our team or we trade him to somewhere else where he can play more, I am for him. And I thought, one, that's a really good thing for a coach to say. I am for you. But isn't that what God says to us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe with all of your heart that God is for you? He's not against you. He wants you to grow. He loves you. He can take even crappy situations in your life and use them for your good. God is for you. That's a confident faith. Do you have a confirmed faith? Have you seen God move in your life in some really unexpected or unexplainable ways? He made a way when you thought there was no way. Maybe you've seen God show up over and over and over again. And if you have a confirmed faith, that's a wonderful thing. But don't, like, kick up your heels or don't rest on it, right? Always be learning and growing and discovering and stretching your faith. And even if things don't turn out the way that you're praying, look to God for strength and help. And lastly, do you have a contagious faith? Do other people see that you're different in a nice way? Right? Because you can be just different in a weird way, but that's not what we're talking about. So there's some Christians I met over the years that are just, I'm sorry, but they're just weird. No, let's be honest, right? Yeah, but that isn't drawing anybody to God, right? So I'm not asking you to be weird, but are you contagious? Do you really love God, and does it spill over on the people around you? Because if you really love God, you can't keep it in, right? And so if you're not spilling out love for God to other people around you, why not? What's going on? Why are you not contagious in a good way? Because we can all agree, right, that the people of this world need God. The people in our neighborhood need God. The people in our extended families need God just as much as we do. Their lives would be infinitely better if they came to know God through Jesus Christ. And how is God going to reach them? Through us. Right? He has given us this ministry of reconciliation as though God was making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. We are his agents of reconciliation. whether you're interacting with somebody at your neighborhood or at the grocery store or here at church or wherever you find yourself, do you have a contagious faith? And if not, why not? If not, why not? You don't have this treasure just for your own benefit, right? It doesn't end with us. It was never meant to. I'm not sure what makes that person different, but they're really different in a nice way, in a good way. I wonder what makes them tick. I wonder what makes them tick, because their life isn't perfect, but they always seem so kind and positive. So, as we head into our response time, I just want to ask you, where are you? Crisis faith, confident faith, confirmed faith, contagious faith. Where are you and where do you need to go? What's your next step? And how are you going to get there? Not going to happen right away, right? You don't move from crisis faith to confident faith in a week. But you can do things this week that are going to send you on that journey. So where are you, and where does God want you to be, and what are one or two things you can do this week to move on to that next stage? I'm going to give you a quiet moment to think about that, and then I'm going to pray for us. Father, I thank you that you're always calling us on. He always has something more for us to learn or do or become. Thank you for your great patience. But your presence in our lives gives us hope that we can and will change. We are eternally optimistic about what you're able to do in and through us. So help us this week to take some steps of faith so that our faith can grow, that we might know you more deeply, trust you more fully, serve you more joyfully. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you interacted with that desperate dad and changed not only his son's health, but their family's whole life. Continue to do your good work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together with us as we respond in song.
Open the life gate that God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
People of God, hear now these words of blessing. Sisters and brothers, let us claim the freedom Christ gives us by his self-giving on the cross. May he enable us to serve together in faith, hope, and love. Go forth sharing the good news to all. See you next week.